الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا مولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد ومن يعص ما فإنه لا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا مولانا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم وقد قال تبارك وتعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا أطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول وأولي الأمر منكم صدق الله صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين.
My most respected elders and brothers in Islam, first of all we should make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed us to be part of this program of Ramadan. There are so many people in the past who thought they will see this month, but they never got that opportunity of seeing this month. If you look into this world, you will find that there are different programs that take place, whether it be a sports program, whether it be an educational program, a person has to make an application. When a person makes an application, for example, a parent makes an application for his child, and his child gets accepted for a certain program, he gets so excited. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without any application, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed us to be part of this program of Ramadan. But this program is not some crash course or something, where a person, after the program is finished, he crashes, and everything is forgotten. But the real test of whether the program was successful or not is after the program is finished. The graduation can take place also. If a person had sent his child towards university or education, after the graduation and everything, he realizes that his son has learned or his child has learned nothing or has achieved nothing from the program, then would all that happiness and everyone was giving him, all the congratulations also, it means nothing to him. Why? Because the child has not learnt anything. So the real test of whether we have passed this program or whether we have learnt anything from this program will be after the month of Ramadan. Now this course or this program that we are passing through, what is this program all about? This program is about linking ourselves or making that link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stronger. That it must become so strong that link must not even break. Instead of becoming weaker, it must become stronger and stronger. Now in the month of Ramadan it's easy. Why? Because there are many, many barakat and many blessings in this month. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it easy for us to keep that contact and that link with Him. But inshallah, if we practice on 6 things, and we try to train on those 6 things in this month, and after the month of Ramadan, if we keep up to these 6 things, then inshallah, that link and contact with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not only remain, it will become stronger. Not only for ourselves, but for our families also. The first thing out of the 6 things is Kitabullah. That is, our link and contact with the Kitab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must be every day. There must never be a day When we don't have a link and contact with the Quran, as far as the rights of the Quran are concerned, there are so many, but I'll just mention a few. The first right of the Quran is that you have to believe that everything in the Quran is true. There can never be a lie in whatever is in the Quran. We all know the famous incident of the one buzuk who has seen Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the dream, that is so and so, that there is a certain janazah in the jungles, that please go and perform the janazah. Saw it for the first day, the dangerous place, how are we going to go there? First day he saw it, second day he saw it, third day he saw it, so he sent his students, go and check up. So when they came there, they came across a hut. There's an old lady there, and she indicated towards the house, that go inside. So they went inside and they saw there was a person who had passed away. They performed the ghusl, janazah, everything. But they asked this lady, that what is it that you all are doing? That Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to come to our ustad's dream and tell him that we must come and perform this janazah. He said, no, we're not really doing anything special. But there's one kitab, every day we open it and we look at it. We don't even know how to read it also. But we look at each word and we see that this is the truth. This is the truth. Oh Allah, whatever you have said is the truth. And when they opened it, it was the Quran Sharif. These people were not even reading, they were not even reciting the Quran Sharif. They were only saying whatever is there is the truth. Now imagine that person who believes in whatever is there is the truth, plus he practices on it. Then what will be his condition? Because the only way we're going to know whether a person really believes, because whatever we believe is in the heart, it will only become manifest itself is through our amal. When we make amal, then only when we practice on it, then only when the Quran says la'natullahi ala al-kadhibin, that the la'nat of Allah and the curse of Allah is upon the liars. Then now when I'm in my business, why am I lying? That means my belief in whatever is in the Quran is not strong. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying yamhaqu Allahu ar-riba wa yurbi as-sadaqat, that Allah wipes out riba and interest, and He increases their sadaqah. My mind is telling me, I got 100 rand, I spent 10 rand in sadaqah and I gave it, now I got 90 rand. And on the other hand, I got 100 rand, and I took 10 rand and invested it, and now I got 110 rand. Outwardly my eyes is telling me, through that investment in that riba investment, I got 110 rand. But I spent in the path of Allah, I got 90 rand. That is what I'm seeing in front of me, or what my iman has to say. And Allah is saying that the riba is going to take all that barakat away. That Allah will put you into such difficulties, leave alone that 110 rand that you made, 120 rand won't even be enough. But that sadaqah that I gave, the 10 rand, that because of that Allah will take away all the calamities, and then that will also be safe. That's our belief. So when the Quran is telling us something, the kitab of Allah, so Allah is speaking to us, what's our iman? The only time we will know whether our iman is strong or not is according to the amal that you're going to make on the Quran. So there's one right, is our belief in whatever is in the Quran is 100% correct. And the second right was we make amal on that. The third right of the Quran Sharif is that we listen to the Quran Sharif and we recite the Quran Sharif. Listening to the Quran Sharif is a separate ibadat. وَإِذَا قُرِيَ الْقُرْآنُ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنْصِتُوا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. And the Quran Sharif is recited, listening to the Quran Sharif. The first thing that mentions, we should point out one very important point. When it comes to listening to the Quran, many people, they have the Quran Sharif recited sometimes in the shops also, recited over the loudspeaker. People are walking around doing their work. That is disrespect to the Quran Sharif. Because no one is listening to the Quran Sharif, everyone is doing their work. Likewise, sometimes the people in the car also, one person is listening, the other people are all talking. It's either everyone keeps silent and they listen to the Quran Sharif, or otherwise you switch off the recitation. Because that is disrespect to the Quran Sharif. وَإِذَا قُرِيَ الْقُرْآنُ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنْصِتُوا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. You must listen to it. And as far as reciting this Quran Sharif is concerned, there's so many virtues. So many virtues of the Quran Sharif. You recite one letter, you're getting 30 rewards. He's not saying, I'm saying alif, lam, mim is one letter. Alif is one letter. Lam is the letter. And the mim is one letter. For every letter you're giving 10 reward, so you're getting 30 rewards there. So there's many, many virtues with regards to recitation of the Quran Sharif. And it's very easy to finish a khatam. If we take our 5-10 daily salah, a person comes, before salah read 3 pages, after salah he reads another 3 pages, comfortably for 5 salahs you already finish 1 para. Without any difficulty, don't even take any extra time also. That is for a person who only wants to read for the minimum. Obviously, the more we can read, the better. Because this is a month of Quran. The third right is understanding the Quran. Now here I wish to mention one very important point, that there are many, many translations of the Quran Sharif. But we cannot understand the Quran Sharif by just reading translations. By just reading a translation, you cannot understand the Quran. Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah in Ma'arif al-Quran has mentioned that there are 2 ways of understanding the Quran. One is you study by an ustad, a teacher who has studied by a teacher also. Not like what we have today, unfortunately, we have Quran circles. People will have a Quran Sharif in front of them, a group of people are sitting around, and one person will recite a verse, and they'll start asking each person, what do you think is the meaning of this verse? What is this verse referring to? What Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said about such people, who don't have knowledge of Quran, and they interpret in the Quran, مَنْ قَالَ فِي الْقُرْآنَ بِرَعْيِهِ فَلْيَتَبَوَّأْ مَقَّدَهُ فِي النَّارِ, that person who just talks regarding the Quran Sharif, he doesn't have the right knowledge, then he must prepare his abode in the fire of Jahannam. In one hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, فَأَصَابَ فَقَدْ أَخْطَأَ. Even if he guessed it right also, he's still a sinner. Even if he guessed it right, he's still a sinner. Why? Because he's not a qualified person. If you take a normal surgeon, right, he does an operation, so then he's acceptable. Another person who is his helper for so many years, and he knows how to do surgery, but he's not qualified. And he does the surgery, and the person lived also, he's still a criminal. Why? Because he's not qualified to do the surgery. So the first one is Kitabullah. Our link and contact with the Kitab of Allah must be at all times. In the month of Ramadan, out of the month of Ramadan. The second one is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our link and contact with the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Here also, there are certain rights. The first right is our love for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Who doesn't have the love? But there's different levels of love. We all know the famous hadith. Umar radiallahu anhu, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, I got love for you the most, except myself. Nabi Sallam said, your love is deficient, incomplete. He thought for a moment and he said, Ya Rasulullah, my love for you is more, even more than myself also. Nabi Sallam said, now your love is complete. But how is this love? Love is something that is in the heart. How do we know it? That will only become apparent through our amal. When we will practice on the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, every sunnah. And one easy way to practice on the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is to learn the masnoon du'as. Learn the masnoon du'as of every occasion that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how he woke up, how he slept, how he ate, how he went to the toilet. Learn the masnoon du'as. You'll always be in the zikr of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Because you are reading the right du'as for the right occasion. So you'll be practicing on the sunnah of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So this is the second thing, the second important thing. And that is our link and contact with the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our love for him, and also practicing on every sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not only the apparent sunnahs. One is the apparent sunnah, how Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is eating, how Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is walking, how Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is sleeping, etc. And even the spiritual sunnahs. What was the condition of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he got angry? What was the condition of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What was the tolerance of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam got angry, when did he get angry, when he did not get angry. So even the akhlaq of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that also has to come into our lives. The third important thing is Baytullah. That is the houses of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, meaning the masajid. The link and contact with the masjid of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala must be there at all times. There are so many benefits regarding the masjid. Wherever there is a masjid, there is only good and nothing bad. From the time of building a masjid, to coming to the masjid, spending time in a masjid, everything is only ibadat. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that person who makes wuzu, and then he walks to the masjid for every step he's taking, Allah wipes out his minor sins. One minor sin, Allah raises him one stage higher also. And then when he comes into the masjid, he makes, if he sits in the salah, waiting for the salah, intizaru salati salatun, you're waiting for the salah, is actually also getting the sawab of salah. Then when we come into the masjid, we're going to the first saf, so much of reward as far as the masjid is concerned. And one great benefit, Allah speaks about it in 18 para, Allah says, Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. Allah brightens everything. Allah brightens the heart of that mu'min also. And where are you going to get the brightness of Allah? When will Allah brighten our hearts? Allah says, after fi buyutin adhinallahu an turfa'u yuzkara fi hasmu. In the houses of Allah, you will find that Allah will brighten your hearts. So you're getting that nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the third thing. And that is, we keep our close contact with the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Unfortunately, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, أَحَبُّ الْبِلَادِ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَسَادِدُهَا وَأَبْغَدُ الْبِلَادِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَسْوَاقُهَا. That the best places are the masajid, and the worst places are the bazaars, and the marketplaces. And if you look at our lives, we are spending most of our time in the worst of places. Yes, there's a need now. So we have to go do our work. But would that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that amongst the seven people, who they will be under the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, one of them is رَجُلٌ قَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّقٌ بِالْمَسَاجِدِ. Is that person whose heart is linked to the masjid? Mullah Umri Sam, rahmatullah alayhi, used to say, he should explain this hadith, and he used to say that person, he has to go out to do his work, but he's waiting for the next salah. He's waiting for the next salah when I can come back to meet my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the third thing. That is the Baytullah, the masajid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fourth thing is, Awliyaullah, the pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi used to say that if our children, if we're sending them to school, etc., we're sending them for the education, there's no problem. But always bring them in the company of the pious people. Always bring them in the company of the pious people. So whatever doubts they have regarding the deen, etc., all that will get repelled. Whatever the questions they need to ask, they will ask this pious person, and they will take mashura from him, and they will do whatever they need to do. Allah Ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu taqullaha wa kunu ma'as sadiqeen. What is the benefit of sitting amongst the pious? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the harms of bad company. Allah says, وَمَنْ يَعْشُ عَنْ ذِكْرِ الرَّحْمَنِ نُقَيِّدْ لَهُ شَيْطَانًا فَوَّلَهُ قَرِينًا. That that person, who all the time he's reminded of good, but he just ignores it. He doesn't want to listen. Only turns away. Allah says, a time will come, Allah forbid, Allah protect us, that Allah will turn him away. Then Allah Ta'ala appoints shaitan, then shaitan becomes his friend. But if Allah Ta'ala goes away, Allah Ta'ala moves away from a person, moves his gaze from a person, then he's only with shaitan. Then what shaitan does? Then shaitan makes him do whatever he wants him to do. And then this person starts thinking he's doing good. وَيَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. He thinks he's good. And this is the worst thing that can happen. A person is doing evil, and he's thinking that evil is good. So what it means that this person will never get the tawfiq of making tawbah, because he's thinking I'm doing right. So the first benefit of sitting in pious company is that a person will realize what is right and what is wrong. What will make my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy and what will make my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala angry? That's the first benefit. The second thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says thereafter regarding this person who's kafir, who shaitan is his friend. حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَنَا قَالَ يَا لَيْتَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكَ بُعْدَ الْمَشْرِقَيْنِ فَبِئْسَ الْقَرِيرِ. He will come on the day of Qiyamah. And he will address shaitan and will say, how nice if I never knew who shaitan was. How nice if there was a big gap between me and Shaitan. I never knew who he was. Far away from me, I didn't even know who he was. So this is the second benefit of good company, is that in the Akhirat, it will assist us. In the Akhirat, it will assist us. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, Al-akhillau yawma idhin ba'duhum li ba'din aduun illa al-muttaqeen. That friends, you have the wrong friends. On the day of Qiyamah, in this dunya, on the day of Qiyamah, they will become your enemies. You see, we've got nothing to do with you. Except those people who had friendship for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were friends, they were muttaqeen, they were the pious. They will assist you on the day of Qiyamah. It comes in the riwayat in Bukhari. That a friend will be put into Jannah. One person will be put into Jannah. His friend, because of some reason, for some little bit wrong that he did, he had to go into Jahannam. This friend will stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, oh Allah, this person was with me in the dunya all the time. We used to go for salah together. We used to read Quran together. We used to do good everything together. Ya Allah, you put him in Jannah. How can I go into Jannah without him? In the riwayat of Bukhari comes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, alright, since you were together in the dunya, you were doing all good, now he can join you in Jannah also. So this is a friend, a true friend. True friend that a person would have in the dunya. So, awliyaullah, keep friends with the friends, those people who are close with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One ayat in Surah Al-Kahf, we read, وَاسْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَهُ. Now, Islam is being told, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being told, oh, Ya Rasulullah, those sahaba of yours who are the pious sahaba, stay with them. Keep their company. Now, they are benefiting. They are benefiting from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They are benefiting from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being told that the kuffar want you to abandon these sahaba. Don't ever fall into that trap. Remain with them. Remain with this pious sahaba. So the fourth thing is awliyaullah. The fifth thing is zikrullah. The zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At all times a person must be in the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's so many virtues of the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that his heart, it becomes rusty also. And you need to clean it. And the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to cleanse his heart. There's so many different zikrs. You got third kalima, you got istighfar. Especially in the month of Ramadan, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, increase in third kalima, increase in the istighfar. Then you got the durood on Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is a Friday. The meaning of durood doesn't mean, and the meaning of Friday doesn't mean was only read durood on a Friday. Durood means that you will read it every day, but you will increase your durood on a Jummah. You will increase your durood on a Jummah. So that is the fifth thing, that is zikrullah. And the sixth thing is sabilillah. Everything you do for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever you do, make your intention will be for the sake of Allah. I just mentioned two examples, inshallah we'll complete and we'll recap and then we'll complete. For example, a person, now in the month of Ramadan, he has to buy some groceries for the home. He needs to buy things for the house. One is he can make that intention, I'm buying food for the house. And one is the intention he makes, oh Allah, the food that is going to be made with this thing that I'm buying, my family will eat iftar. And I want the sawab of feeding a fasting person. Now that same buying whatever groceries you bought becomes an ibadat. Or that family that is making whatever food they are making, that relishing food which everyone is waiting for at the time of iftar. At that time they will make the intention, so the ladies will make the intention, that my intention is that I want to feed my family, they are all fasting, I'm feeding a fasting person. Then that same thing becomes an ibadah. A person can fill petrol in his car. Right, well I need to go from A to B to C, whatever. And another intention he makes, that I'm filling this petrol. Why? Because I'm going to go to the masjid with this. I'm going to go to this right place and go to that right and go to the masjid with this. Now that filling of that petrol becomes an ibadat also. So everything is fi sabil, everything for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we must think how we can cash in. Every action, like a person can eat, with what intention? I'm hungry. Another person can eat with the intention that I want strength, that I want to go for taraweeh. Or I want to make my ibadat. Now the same eating becomes an ibadat. So this month of Ramadan is a time where we want to build our ta'alluq and our link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we want that link to remain even after the month of Ramadan also. So inshallah, if you practice on these six things, number one is the Kitab of Allah, meaning the Quran Sharif. Always link with the Quran Sharif. There must never be a day where we don't recite the Quran Sharif. Second is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Link and contact with every sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has come in my life. The third is Baytullah. And that is the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I just wish to mention this one very important point came to my mind now. That this is one sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam we are not practicing on, and which our forefathers had it in them. And that was in every home there was a salah room. There was a salah room. There was a place that always reminded us that you have to read your salah. Slowly, slowly the sunnah is going out. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, لَا تَجْعَلُوا بُيُوتَكُمْ قُبُورًا. Do not make your homes a qabrustan where there is no ibadah taking place there. So there has to be a place designated where we know we are reminded that we have to perform our salah, whether nafil salah or any other thing. So the Baytullah, this is the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the fourth one we had mentioned was awliyaullah. Always keep company with the pious. The fifth one is zikrullah. There must be a time that you take out, especially the ulama have mentioned, after fajr, after asr, take out time, make it the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the sixth one we have said is fi sabilillah. Everything that we do, must do for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that whatever barakat and whatever blessings that Allah has got in this month, Allah must grant us those blessings. And the closeness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps us in this month of Ramadan with Him, Allah ta'ala must keep us close to Him always, even after the month of Ramadan, until we pass away and when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Jannah, inshallah. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillah.